More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Joe Biden has come out and he has harsh words for Hamas, harsh words for the terrorists. His words that he said finally, and we waited a long time for him to say this, was those who are not vaccinated will end up paying the price. Oh, wait, my bad. Okay, wait, sorry. Joe Biden did not have bad words or harsh words for actual terrorists. No, instead, he has harsh words for the American people. You can understand why that would be so confusing. Because you would assume that Joe Biden would say that those who are terrorists like Hamas, who are killing innocent people, will end up paying the price. That's what you would think the President of the United States of America would be saying right now about our ally who is under attack from terrorists. But that's not what Joe Biden said. Joe Biden actually said that about you, the American people, that if you don't do what he says, that you will end up paying the price. President Joe Biden warned Americans, not terrorists who are killing our friends in the Middle East, that those who refuse to get vaccinated will ultimately end up paying the price for not doing so. Take a listen.
Ultimately, those who are not vaccinated will end up paying the price.
Wouldn't it be nice if he used those words towards like actual terrorists, like they're going to end up paying the price, like Hamas and the Islamic State, who are killing innocent people, they'll be the ones that pay the price? Yeah. No. That's a threat you just heard for the American people. And that threat did not resonate well with everyone. Fox News reported Biden declared during this news conference that COVID-19 cases are, quote, down in all 50 states, and announced that the U.S. government would now send more coronavirus vaccines to other countries. Apparently, you're supposed to get excited about that. He noted that COVID-19 deaths are down 81% in the U.S. from a year ago. The president went on to talk about how great these numbers are. However, you need to not drop the ball and you better get that vaccine. Take a listen.
Today, for the first time since the pandemic began, pandemic cases are down in all 50 states. First time. That's right. Thanks a lot to the hard work of so many people. COVID cases are down in all 50 states. Now, I can't promise that will continue this way. We know there will be advances and setbacks, and we know that there are many flare-ups that could occur. But if the unvaccinated get vaccinated, they will protect themselves and other unvaccinated people around them. If they do not, states with low vaccination rates may see those rates go up, may see this progress reversed. Ultimately, those who are not vaccinated will end up paying the price. The vaccinated will continue to be protected against severe illnesses, but others may not be if you're not vaccinated. But given that the vaccination is convenient and free, it'll be a tragedy and a needless one to see COVID cases among those who do not get vaccinated go up.
So there you go. You better do what the president tells you to do. And if not, there's going to be hell to pay for you as an American citizen. These are the words of the President of the United States of America towards you as an American citizen. You better do it or not. You better do it or I'm going to really tell you what's going to happen. Now, reaction to Biden's message on Twitter were interesting. One person wrote, I'm getting the vax, but I'm going to be real. This makes me not want to. Someone else tweeted, if Trump had said this, there have been cries for impeachment and tyranny. I'm not saying you got to be a Trump person or a Biden person, but at least understand the hypocrisy of the condition of the media right now is putting us through. One other person reasoned, quote, I've come down with COVID and have fully recovered since then. I see no reason to take the vaccine, especially when it's the least deadly outbreak compared to others spanning 200 years. And segregating vaccinated from non-vaccinated is a violation of their constitutional right. Of course, there's many out there praising the president because he's getting tough on the vaccine and Americans. One person said, I still don't see how anyone is even a slight bit skeptical. Look at India right now and tell me you'd rather just not get the vax because some Facebook post said they're putting tracking chips in the vax. Like they track us already. We already have our cell phones with us to do that. Another one wrote, yeah, he's right. Another replied, that's why I say make it mandatory. Yeah. During the speech, Biden also repeated his target date of having 70% of Americans receiving at least one COVID vaccine shot by July 4th. The president also announced that in addition to the 60 million doses of the AstraZeneca vaccine, which has not yet been approved for use in the U.S., that he's already committed to sharing with other nations. The country will also begin sending overseas dozens of Pfizer, Moderna, and Johnson & Johnson vaccines when they become available. But of course, he couldn't make this announcement without having one of those senile, what the hell is going on with Joe Biden moments. When Joe Biden tried to say the word AstraZeneca, it sounded like this.
Remember, this is the vaccine that's not authorized for use in the United States yet. So we're going to be sending it to folks once the FDA has reviewed this and said it's safe. This is all the AstraZeneca vaccine produced in the United States. All of it will be sent to other countries.
So there you have it. You've got a president of the United States of America that's threatening you, not the actual terrorists in the world, threatening you that if you don't get the vaccine, you're not going to get to participate in society, threatening you that you may have to go back under lockdown if you don't do what he tells you to do. Welcome to the Biden administration. Yeah. He's got something to tell you. There's going to be hell to pay if you don't get the vaccine. You want to get people to get the vaccine? Don't talk to them this way. You want to get people to get the vaccine? Then let them decide for themselves and try to, instead of trying to force it down their throats. What Joe Biden's basically trying to do is he's trying to mandate a vaccine without mandating a vaccine. That's what he's trying to do here. He's trying to force you into doing something without it being an official mandate.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
More Than a Movie is back with season two of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. On Purpose is dedicated to helping you be happier, healthier, and more healed. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how he got comfortable with fear, navigating the changes in relationships, and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern. This conversation shows a never-seen-before side to Orlando Bloom and his unique life journey.
I think we all struggle sometimes to really deeply believe that we are enough, that we're valued, that we're valuable. You know, we're imprinted by our parents from the age of 0 to 7, right? Mm. I'm constantly trying to go like, how do I detach from this idea of is that my baggage? It doesn't look like my baggage. I mean, I know, okay, that's mine. Let's unpack that.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Biden also has another problem when it comes to this vaccine. Not only is he saying there's going to be hell to pay if you don't get it, basically implying that if you don't get it, we're not going to accept you in society. You won't be able to function as a normal adult. His other problem is no one trusts the CDC. And not because we're paranoid. It's because how the hell can you trust the CDC when they're all over the place? How the hell do you trust Fauci when he's been all over the place? Got to wear one mask, now two masks, now three masks. Now you can wear masks indoors. Now you can't wear masks indoors. Now you need to wear more masks indoors. Now you get vaccinated and the vaccine is going to protect you. But wait, hold on. You still got to wear your mask indefinitely. Now we're going to have masks every year that you're going to wear in certain months. I mean, these are the things that make people look at the CDC and say, you guys are stupid. It's a political organization. The Centers for Disease Control is no longer an unbiased center for disease control. It's a political center for political control using diseases. A great example is the teachers' unions. We talked about this story on the podcast. And if you missed it, go back and listen to it on our podcast. The CDC took their exact wording for school reopening from the largest teachers' union in the country. The teachers' union was sending them emails telling them how they wanted them to write the guidance on reopening our schools. And their exact wording from their emails, pure propaganda to make sure that teachers' unions and their teachers did not actually have to go back to the classroom, screwing our kids, was put in the CDC guidance from a teachers' union. That's not based on science. That's not based on logic. That is based on political propaganda. How can I trust the CDC? The other part about the CDC is now we've gone from one extreme to the other. You know, the CDC for the last year has gone from impending doom to now all of a sudden, because Joe Biden's in serious political trouble after 100 and whatever days we're in right now, to telling all vaccinated people to take their masks off. Now, I want you to just think about where we are right now in the first 117-18 days of Biden, all right? You've got Israel that's under attack by Hamas, and you have a president that has not denounced it. In fact, the only threat the president has is for the American people if you don't get vaccinated, not for terrorists. You have a border crisis with no end in sight, and a woman who's in charge of that border crisis that still hasn't gone to the border and the vice president, Kamala Harris, because they want millions of illegal immigrants to come across the border. They want to give them amnesty. They want to own them like modern-day slaves. We have gas lines that we haven't seen in this country since Jimmy Carter was the president. We have an unemployment rate that's gone up after spending $1.9 trillion instead of it going down. We have a labor crisis. On top of that, we have trillions in new taxes. We also have a new policy. Apparently, we're negotiating with terrorists, cyber terrorists, and actual terrorists in Iran. We banned fracking, so that's supposed to make you feel good. And schools are still not open, all under this president. This is what he's done the first 117 days. So we needed a bailout. So the CDC, which is clearly a political organization, said, all right, we'll stop the impending doom and we'll tell you vaccinated people to take your masks off. You got to understand why there's some shell shockness there for most Americans. They've been announcing day after day, week after week, this is, you know, the world is ending, the sky is falling. Then all of a sudden last week they come out and they're like, hey, all right, hey, heads up. Fully vaccinated Americans no longer need to wear a mask for most indoor and outdoor activities. The decisions followed weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and months, and really a year of doomsday-filled warnings from members of the CDC. The CDC director, Walensky, told a bipartisan panel of senators on May the 11th, go look at the calendar, May 11th, not that long ago, that wearing a mask was vitally important and pushed for individuals to continue to do so. I'm quoting the Washington Post. Quote, while we continue to have community transmissions, we must also maintain public health measures we know will prevent the spread of the virus. Mask hygiene, hand hygiene, and physical distancing. This is on May the 11th. Walensky pointed to vaccination rates nationwide as one of the main reasons why wearing a mask is still needed mandatory. Her comments appeared to point towards no end in sight for the mask mandate. The CDC had actually approved CDC guidance the night before that would allow fully vaccinated individuals to stop wearing their masks, according to the Washington Post. So what changed? How is it the night before your CDC, which you're the director of, approved guidance the night before you testified that would allow fully vaccinated individuals to stop wearing their masks, but then you go on Capitol Hill and you tell people, nope, not going to give you the guidance that we just came up with last night. Walensky went on to warn just weeks ago of an impending doom. She said in March that she had a reoccurring feeling of impending doom in this country.
I'm going to pause here. I'm going to lose the script, and I'm going to reflect on the recurring feeling I have of impending doom.
That's on March the 29th, folks. That's your CDC director giving you a COVID-19 response on the WhiteHouse.gov website. And then she says, I'm going to go off script, everybody. I'm going to scare the hell out of you. There's impending doom coming. March 29th, 2021. This is what she's telling you. This is the head of the CDC.
I'm going to pause here. I'm going to lose the script. And I'm going to reflect on the recurring feeling I have of impending doom. We have so much to look forward to. So much promise and potential of where we are, and so much reason for hope. But right now, I'm scared. I know what it's like as a physician.
By the way, this is the CDC director telling you we have impending doom, going off script, getting emotional, pleading with the public to get that vaccine. She says, right now, I'm scared. This is just on March the 29th.
To stand in that patient room, gowned, gloved, masked, shielded, and to be the last person to touch someone else's loved one because their loved one couldn't be there. I know what it's like when you're the physician, when you're the healthcare provider, and you're worried that you don't have the resources to take care of the patients in front of you. I know that feeling of nausea when you read the crisis standards of care and you wonder whether there are going to be enough ventilators to go around and who's going to make that choice.
We're scaring you, folks. She's scared right now. She feels that there's an impending doom. This is on March the 29th, everyone. You know, people are dying. I'm going to tell you about them dying. I'm going to tell you how horrible it is when they die. So you better do what we tell you to do. You better do it right now. Because if you don't do it, there's going to be hell to pay. Impending doom. This is how bad it was on March the 29th, and all of a sudden you fast forward 2 weeks later and, hey, take your mask off, and you want me to trust the CDC? Come on. To quote Joe Biden, come on, man.
And I know what it's like to pull up to your hospital every day and see the extra morgue sitting outside.
So you better get vaccinated right now. We have so much to look forward to, so much promise, potential where we are, so much reason for hope, but right now I'm scared. I know what it's like as a physician standing in the patient room, gowned, gloved, masked, shielded, and to be the last person they ever see. 2 weeks later, just killing. We're all good. Take your mask off. Don't forget, 2 weeks ago when that happened, she was warning against states like Texas and Mississippi, saying lifting their mask mandates were basically Neanderthal thinking. Remember when Joe Biden said that?
I will always give you it straight from the shoulder. Our work is far from over.
Isn't it supposed to be straight from the heart, by the way? That's a new one. Straight from the shoulder?
The war against COVID-19 is far from won. This is deadly serious. We share the sentiment of Dr. Walensky, the head of the Center for Disease Control and Prevention. The CDC expressed earlier today, this is not a time to lessen our efforts. That's what she said. We could still see a setback in the vaccination program. And most importantly, if we let our guard down now, we could see a virus getting worse, not better.
There it is. There's your doom and gloom. Okay, never mind. Take your mask off. But we'll warn you, if you don't get your vaccine, there's going to be hell to pay. That's your president of the United States of America threatening you. Be clear about what this is. Be very clear about what he is advocating for. This is trying to have a vaccine mandate without actually having a vaccine mandate.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
More Than a Movie is back with season two of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. On Purpose is dedicated to helping you be happier, healthier, and more healed. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how he got comfortable with fear, navigating the changes in relationships, and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern. This conversation shows a never-seen-before side to Orlando Bloom and his unique life journey.
I think we all struggle sometimes to really deeply believe that we are enough, that we're valued, that we're valuable. You know, we're imprinted by our parents from the age of 0 to 7, right? Mm. I'm constantly trying to go, like, how do I detach from my this idea of, is that my baggage? It doesn't look like my baggage. I mean, I know, okay, that's mine. Let's unpack that.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, I want to bring in my guests now to talk about not only this issue with vaccines, but also what's going on in the Middle East. Joining me now is United States Senator from Tennessee, Bill Hagerty. Senator, I appreciate you coming on. I want to talk to you specifically about what is going on in Israel. This administration not only has not been backing our ally, but actually have been allowing members of the Democratic Party to attack Israel, imply that they're a terrorist organization. We have seen the media imply that Israel is a terrorist organization, with the Associated Press sharing an office building with Hamas intelligence gatherers. You see Israel give warning to the Associated Press and other journalists at Al Jazeera to get out of that building. No one died when they bombed that building because they also allowed the terrorists to leave the building, which tells you how kind they are as a nation. Yet the Associated Press comes out, says they're shocked and appalled that they would have targeted this building. You see the administration really not backing Israel. You're obviously serving in the U.S. Senate. I have never seen a United States administration abandon an ally while they're under attack by an actual terrorist organization like we are witnessing right now.
No, it's just amazing to me as well, Ben. And I think most Americans that are paying attention to this are absolutely shocked at the position of the Democrat Party. And I think, frankly, the Democrat Party is in shreds over this. You've got the far left, AOC and that ilk, who are certainly siding with the Palestinians. They would, you know, prefer to have the Israelis stand down and let Hamas continue to launch rockets at them and allow Israeli civilians to die. That's not going to happen. They're trying to create some sort of moral equivalency between what Hamas is doing, which is, you know, these unbridled attacks on Israeli civilians, and what Israel is doing, which is what you described, precision military strikes They have warned people to get out of the buildings. They have been much more precise and much more forgiving in their response, yet they're trying to create some sort of moral equivalency, which is exactly the wrong way to look at this. It just, you know, belies the fact that they don't understand what's happening on the ground.
You know, we see Democrats and the Socialist Democratic Party that are actually planning all over the country, and they already have been doing these rallies and these walks and marches in many cities supporting the Palestinians. And if you just look at what Hamas, a terrorist organization, has done, they have actually misfired, as of last night, 435 rockets that landed in the Gaza Strip. In translation, killing their own people. 439 of these rockets misfire, crashing into their own people, causing at least 20 Palestinian casualties. Why is the media not reporting on that? There, if you break it down, 1 in 7 rockets that Hamas is firing, they know is going to be fired at their own people and kill their own people.
Well, it shows that Hamas doesn't care about their people. They're just using this as an opportunity to gain headlines and gain more political support from folks like the Democrats here in America. It's an absolute disgrace, and the media are misreporting the casualties in a way that makes it look like the Israelis are responsible for these deaths. When, as you just described, Ben, the number of civilian casualties on in Gaza are directly attributable to what's happening with their own rockets. And by the way, these rockets are manufactured in Iran. The parts, if they're assembled there in the Gaza, are coming from Iran. These are all Iranian-backed. And, you know, this gets to what's happening with the broader foreign policy that the Biden administration is following. Because by appeasing Iran, they're emboldening this activity. And this is increasing all of this type of terror in the region.
My guest with me is U.S. Senator from Tennessee, Bill Hagerty. Senator, you look at the president, and there was a comment that he came out with that was a shocking one. He issued a dark prediction for unvaccinated Americans, warning Americans that they'll end up paying the price. Now, I use that as a compare and contrast because he hasn't said that about Hamas, right? I mean, these words that he says towards American citizens about not getting a vaccination, that you're going to end up paying the price. Don't you wish that the president would use those same words towards the terrorists that are attacking our ally with Israel? Yet he does not use those words towards Hamas or the Islamic State. He uses it towards American citizens yesterday, saying you better get vaccinated or you're going to end up paying the price.
You know, it's this whole America last perspective. It's something that people like you and me, Ben, can't possibly conceive. I mean, America is the greatest nation in the world, the most exceptional nation in the world. Yet we're following this foreign policy of appeasement, of apology, and we're treating our own people, our own citizens, you know, as if there's something, you know, there's something wrong here, and that that our own citizens should be, you know, under the thumb of government and being threatened like this by our president. This is not the way to proceed in a nation like America. And the world is hungry for our leadership right now. Yet what we see time and again is the Biden administration backing away from positions of strength and, you know, stepping toward appeasement and apology and emboldening terrorists and abandoning our strongest allies. And that's exactly what you've described here about in terms of what's happening in Israel and the region.
We've had incredible steps forward with the COVID vaccine and opening back up. Just a couple weeks ago, the president referred to southern states that were dropping mass mandates and opening back up as Neanderthal thinking. Sure enough, one of those largest states during that period of time had zero COVID deaths reported in Texas. And the president referred to that state as Neanderthal thinking. At what point do you think either A, the politicians in D.C., and B, the media are going to start holding this president accountable for just being so wrong so often on these COVID restrictions, which have been destroying our economy?
Ben, I don't think they are going to hold him accountable because we see this happen time and again. It happened during his campaign for election. You know, some of the comments he made on the campaign trail were just unbelievable. Yet they continue to sort of cover up, hide, let him hang out in the basement. They've given him a pass at every turn. And the fact is that he is willing to divide and politicize things here in America, even while he's willing to support our enemies and antagonists overseas. The foreign policy is exactly backwards. And from a domestic standpoint, he should be doing everything he can to encourage a reopening of our economy, not condemning those that are actually making it happen, like, you know, Governor Abbott in Texas, Governor DeSantis in Florida, who are taking leadership positions that are really getting their economies back in shape. I applaud Governor Lee for being on the leading edge of getting this done in our home state of Tennessee. That's not Neanderthal thinking. That's responsible, positive thinking to get our economy going again.
I want to ask you one other question, and this is obviously some breaking news. The House Republican leader, Kevin McCarthy, has announced that he will not support a commission. They claim it would be an independent commission, Democrats do, to investigate the Capitol insurrection. Democrats apparently are saying they want to use this to investigate Donald Trump again. He is siding with Republicans, downplaying what happened on January the 6th and the left trying to weaponize what happened at the Capitol. I know you've condemned the attack, as I have and many other Republicans have, but we're seeing it now being weaponized to attack Donald Trump and others. Liz Cheney's one of those that now she's gone all in on this, saying we must have a investigation. They compare to the 9/11 commission. What do you say about this?
I say it's exactly as you and I both you and I have both condemned what happened. Violence and rioting have no place in America, but this is clearly an effort by the Democrat leadership to weaponize the event, just as you said, to find yet another way to go after Donald Trump. You know, whether it's the U.S. attorney or the prosecutor in Manhattan continuing to go after Donald Trump, they're trying to create some sort of commission to go after him. They want to keep this going because they think it unifies their party. This is purely political, and Leader McCarthy is right in his decision not to support it, and I think we should move on.
I think it's nothing but partisan hackery, and they're looking for an opportunity here, as you put it, and I hope that we can actually do the work of the American people and not go backwards. And still, there is an obsession with attacking Donald Trump, and it seems to be the only thing Democrats can coalesce behind and get behind, which is things that hurt this country and attacking our allies right now. There is a trend now, whether it be Israel, whether it be Trump, there is a constant beat of the drum to do things that can hurt this country. Look at the pipeline that just got shut down. And still they're coming out saying we don't need any more pipelines, which I'm sure is shocking you.
Oh, absolutely. If you think about where we moved our energy policy in the last administration, we became energy independent finally. We are actually a net exporter of energy. And when I was serving as U.S. ambassador to Japan, I worked my heart out to get them to import more energy from the United States so that they would be less dependent on places like Russia, on places like Qatar, and especially Iran. I worked very hard to get them to stop importing oil into Japan from Iran. They agreed. It was not easy to get them to agree to do that. But I promised them, I said, look, we're now exporting not just energy. We're exporting freedom as America. And if you think about the Biden administration's policies to push us back to the dark ages in this and make us dependent again on foreign countries that maybe don't have our best interest at heart, this is really an astonishing.
Lastly, the president, we were told, is traveling and is going to be pushing electric cars and trucks today. I don't know how much more tone deaf you can be than to what Americans are trying to deal with right now with extremely high energy costs, this pipeline being shut down. I mean, you've seen it being in D.C. You can't get gas in D.C. I laughed. It was so ironic because Wolf Blitzer was posting pictures of himself at his local gas station in D.C. saying day four, no gas. I'm like, well, guess what? You guys voted for this guy. You supported him. You got him to the White House. And now he's out there today saying, oh, don't worry about having no gas. Just buy an electric car. How much more tone deaf can you get than that?
You're exactly right, Ben. That is tone deaf to the extreme. When people drive by gas stations, so here through Virginia, they're those orange cones, no gas allowed. And you know, people can't get to work. People can't get to church. They can't get their kids to school. This is a crisis that they want to ignore, and even Biden's own Secretary of Energy said the same thing. Well, if you had an electric vehicle, you wouldn't be worried about it right now. Well, let's hope you're not living in Texas when they have the next ice storm and the electric grid shuts down. There's a real serious issue here with this administration and their lack of understanding, their lack of depth on energy policy.
Senator, as always, I really appreciate you coming on the podcast today. We'll have you back again soon. Don't forget, if you're listening to this podcast, make sure you share this podcast. If you're listening to it, there's a way to hit share. Send it to your family. Send it to your friends. Share it on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram, on Parler, on Telegram, wherever you are on social media. Help us grow as big tech is doing everything it can to silence this podcast. We still cannot post on Facebook. So again, please help us. I'll see you back here tomorrow. Thanks so much for listening and have a great rest of your day.
More Than a Movie is back with season two. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.